Cheesehead Nation, and welcome to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. It is Friday, October 29th. Thanks for joining us today. Got a lot to talk about. Packers have an important game this weekend, this Sunday on Halloween, invading the Meadowlands with the Packers going to face the New York Jets. Lots of subplots in this game. Rex Ryan, last season, hyping up Darrell Revis and hyping down Charles Woodson. Two good teams. Arguably the best team in the AFC versus the best team in the NFC. Arguably. You got Aaron Rodgers taking on Mark Sanchez, who have crossed paths several times in their careers. Young careers. But a big game nonetheless. If you want to join the conversation today, you can tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV this morning, and your comments will get through to our live blog, or just use our Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. But we do have a director this morning. Alex Talich of the Packers Lounge is moderating our chat and directing our live blog, so your comments will get through. So feel free to join the conversation. We've got no guests today, so you got to help me out, folks. You can talk to me. We'll be opening up the phone lines a little later if you want. And we're talking Packers football. I got to tell you, there was almost no Railbird Central this morning. I tweeted it earlier in the week. On Wednesday, I did something to my back. I can't believe it. I just, like, my back, lower back, got progressively worse throughout the morning and into the afternoon. By 3 p.m., I was bedridden. I couldn't get out from my bed for the rest of the evening. It has gotten better. I'm still not 100%, and I'm not sure what I did. I thinking I might have slept on it wrong or something, but anyhow, I was on the disabled list just like the rest of the Green Bay Packers, but I'm getting better. I'm on my way to recuperation, and hopefully just like the Packers will be doing. Got several Packers working their way back. Can't do Railbird laying down, the Andy Man says. I could try, I suppose. I don't know how exciting that would be. I probably would have been too much in pain had the show been on Wednesday, but several Packer players working their way back into playing time as well, and we'll get to that in a second. Before we get to today's Packers Daily Links, I teased it on Twitter. Packers could be taking a hit in the pocketbook, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. This just kind of came to me this morning, having a conversation with some fans about Desmond Bishop. And he's a free agent after the season, and he's playing fantastic right now. I mean, he's only been playing for basically 3 weeks or so for an extended period of time. But when he's played, he's looked great. I mean, Pro Bowl level, really. It's early. I mean, there's still a lot of time left in the season, and I'm not going to evaluate Desmond Bishop's overall performance through three games, but he's a free agent at the end of the season, and he's possibly going to be looking at the highest bidder. You know who was also a free agent at the end of the season? That's Tremont Williams. And people are already saying Tremont deserves a payday. And it's very well likely the Packers could extend the contracts of one or both of these players before the end of the season. On the other hand, You know, what's to say they spurn a contract extension and go into free agency, being some of the top targets on the free agency market? You know, assuming free agency kind of goes back to, it reverts to its old ways with a new collective bargaining agreement, and there's still a lot of uncertainty with that, and I understand that. So there's reason for both sides to get a contract done. You know, if they can sign Bishop or Williams to an extension, you know, part of that money would go towards this uncapped year. And the Packers have already really put a lot of money into this season. A lot. They have one of the top payrolls in the NFL. Bob McGinn wrote an article just 2 weeks ago, I think it was, saying they have the number 6 payroll in the entire NFL right now. So, I mean, really up at the top. Of course, they signed Charles Woodson and Donald Driver to extensions right before the season. And A. Biederman points out, Cullen Jenkins, yes, he is a free agent as well. So there's lots of players heading into the season who will be looking for a fair amount of money. And the thing I wanted to point out, and we can play a little game here, and folks, I'm going to show you something that kind of helps me out just as a writer, a good resource. One of the first places I look when I'm looking for salary information is this website, rotoworld.com. And what you do is they have a little search right over here. You can see it's, you know, their little search engine. You type in the player's last name, comma, first name. So I typed in Bishop, comma, Desmond, and you click go. And I'll just wait for it for a second here as it kind of pops up. As you can see, it takes a moment. But anyway, it'll give you some search results, and they have a large database. And you can see it goes all the way back to his college career. Right here it says California Golden Bears, but we want the information with the Green Bay Packers. And it just takes you to a little profile. And what it has is every player's salary information, the contract they sign. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that RotoWorld is the best source for contract information in the world. You know, right here it says contract info. In 2007, Bishop signed a 4-year, $1.76 million contract. So, you know, 4 years, this is the last year of his 4-year contract now. This is the place I go at least to get, you know, if I want to know quickly what a player's contract is, that's the place I go. And that's a good resource if any of you want to know that as well. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I also know, has a database. It's not maintained the best of the player's contract. So, you know, it's always a struggle sometime to find out what their contracts are, but I like this site, RotoWorld. And maybe you guys can help me out on the live blog. This kind of came to me today. You know, one of the benefits, you know, not if one of the benefits of a player going on injured reserve is that when they're due for a contract, they might not get that much money because of their injury history. Well, the Packers really didn't get too many favors so far this season. They've had a ton of players going on injured reserve. It's at 11 now, I think. But it just so happens, I'm not sure any of them are free agents after this season. You know, I don't wish ill will toward any player at all, by any means. But, you know, if you're looking at the bright side of things, you know, players getting injured might not have a big payday. Well, none of the players are coming up for a payday. So, in turn, the players who are playing for the Packers, The ones who have not gotten injured, people like Desmond Bishop, Tremont Williams, Cullen Jenkins, these players are all playing large roles for the Packers this year, and they are coming up on contract years. And that's already on top of the Packers having one of the highest payrolls in the NFL. You gotta wonder, is it time to question giving large contract extensions to veterans who have 10 years in the NFL or more? Some of them. You know, just this season, they've signed contracts to, or going into the season, Charles Woodson, Donald Driver, Chad Clifton, Mark Tauscher. You know, guys that are at the end of their careers, and there's all this money invested to them, all of them with multiple year contracts. So, what are the Packers going to do? Can they afford all these players? It really, you know what, I suppose one nice thing is that A.J. Hawk, one nice thing for the Packers, A.J. Hawk is coming up on his final year next year. He has this escalator, or it's not even an escalator, it's just he has, it's built into his contract. He's going to earn $10 million next season. And the Packers aren't just going to pay it. They aren't going to pay it. They're going to ask him to restructure, or they'll cut him. Worst case scenario. So a lot of that money is going to get wiped off the books. But I mean, what's it going to take to sign Desmond Bishop, Tremont Williams, Cullen Jenkins to a contract? These guys are going to be looking to be paid at the top 10, the top 5 at their position in the NFL. Certainly the top 10. And that's on top of all this money the Packers are currently paying. Number 6 payroll in the NFL right now. You just locked in Donald Driver and Charles Woodson for several more years. Their contracts aren't going anywhere. Once again, you know, because they signed them to extensions in the uncapped year here, a lot of their money was paid up front, and their contracts will decrease as time goes on. But still, a lot of money invested in veteran players. I suppose you look at one side of the token and you see both Chad Clifton and Mark Tauscher. I think they both signed 2-year contracts, so not long. You gotta wonder if this might be it for them. Maybe they can wipe those contracts off the books as well after this season. How long will Chad Clifton and Mark Tauscher be around? And as I was saying, if you want to look at some of the players on injured reserve, what I just did here is I pulled up the injured reserve list from the Packers official website. And if you wanted to look for, say, you know, when is Ryan Grant coming up into his contract season? Well, you could go back to rotoworld.com, type in their name, find Ryan Grant's contract details. I think he has another year left on his contract too. So, you know, all these players are going to come back next year, you know, and off injured reserve, and they're going to have a healthy season before their contracts come up again. So just something to take a look at. as time goes forward here, Packer fan John points out Collins and Pickett got extensions this year too. Yes, there's so many of them, I can't even keep track of them. And A. Biederman points out almost all of Clifton's contract was guaranteed this year. And that's true. I mean, the Packers were smart. And in this uncapped year, they did such a good job. This flies under the radar. You don't hear this anywhere. How good of a job the Packers did placing money in this uncapped year. It's costing them. And it's kind of like they put all chips on the table, hoping this would be a Super Bowl year, or at least a very successful year, and they're going to reap some of the benefits of placing all the money into this year. You know, here there are other teams in the NFL saving money because of the lack of a salary floor. They're spending underneath what they had been spending in previous seasons. So there's all these teams in the NFL saving money, and here the Packers are spending more than usual. You know, again, putting all their chips on the table, saying, this better pay off. We better go to a Super Bowl. We better get some home playoff games. If you're hosting a divisional playoff game and the conference championship game, that's two more games of income, two more weeks, with large amounts of attention, lots of travelers coming to Green Bay, lots of hotels being booked, lots of money coming to the Lambeau Field atrium, people eating at Curly's Pub during those weeks, taking tours of the stadium, going to the Hall of Fame. And here the Packers have just been, again, snake bitten by injuries. And now things aren't looking so good. Not to say their season's over, but are the Packers looking at hosting home playoff games this year? I'm not convinced yet. I'm not saying they're out of it, and they might make the playoffs, and they very well might host some home playoff games. But I don't know if this investment is going to pay off quite like the Packers had at least hoped it would. Alex Talich of Packers Lounge says he's so jealous of anyone going to New York tonight. This is a big weekend for Cheesehead TV. Of course, our colleagues, Aaron Nagler, Corey Behnke, live in New York City. So when the Packers come to town, it's kind of the perfect storm for them, if you will. There is a tweet up at Kettle of Fish tonight. There is We have a coupon code out there for Raiders of Cheesehead TV to get a discount on tickets to the Lombardi play on Broadway tomorrow, Saturday, and then the game on Sunday. And before that, there's going to be a big tailgate party as well with all our Cheesehead TV personalities and readers in attendance. You know, I believe there's some banner ads on Cheesehead TV. Feel free to click that to get the details. So if you live in the tri-state area, as they call it, feel free to come to some of these events. Take advantage of them. You know, even if you're not going to the game, you know, head on out to the tweet up tonight. I believe Aaron Nagler just tweeted that Dave Robinson of the glory year, Lombardi years, is going to be at the tweet up tonight. So go get your Dave Robinson autograph tonight. Fantastic, fantastic stuff. Just so excited here at Cheesehead TV for all of this. And Alex Talich asked, do these injuries save Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson no matter what happens? I really don't think they are. Their jobs were in trouble anyway. I mean, I suppose if the Packers just go on this long losing streak, their jobs could be in jeopardy. And if that were to happen, then I suppose you can use injuries as an excuse. I don't see a prolonged losing streak happening this season. So I think their jobs are safe, but it's a convenient excuse, isn't it? As McCarthy would say, that's convenient. And maybe we'll have to turn the tables on him if injuries are ever used as an excuse in the future by McCarthy. You know, at the end of the year, when he tries to explain the season, he hasn't used injuries as an excuse yet. And I don't expect him to, either. That said, I think his job's safe. You don't think what's Alex saying? You don't think that MM was done if we went 8-8 this year? No, I don't think Mike McCarthy's done if they went 8-8. Especially. I mean, it's so hypothetical. Had they stayed healthy all year long and they went 8-8, I'm sure there would be a lot of cries for his head. I don't know if the Packers pulled the trigger and fire him. But I mean, that's such a hypothetical. That didn't happen. Everybody did get injured, so it's really hard to say. Someone asked if A. Biederman asked if I'm going tonight. I'm stuck here in Wisconsin. I got to hold down the fort here. So, but everybody else in New York is checking it out. And I just, if you're over there, New York, New Jersey area, wherever, within driving distance, go check it out. Speaking of injuries, finally here, getting to today's Packers Daily Links. If you go to the top of the live blog, scroll up, there's a link to it. The top story today is about Cullen Jenkins and Ryan Pickett. And if you click on the link, it'll take you to an article at the Green Bay Press Gazette by Pete Doherty. And here's that article. And just want to read what Mr. Doherty says here. Just one paragraph, bear with me. Quote, though Coach Mike McCarthy kept open the possibility of playing defensive ends Ryan Pickett ankle and Cullen Jenkins' calf Sunday, neither is likely to practice this week, which suggests they won't play against the New York Jets. And how scary is that? They were basically faced with the same thing last week. Jenkins strained his calf before the game, didn't play at all. Pickett played, I think it was 6 plays, and then sat out the rest of the game. I mean, so the Packers have shown they can win with a line including B.J. Raji, C.J. Wilson, and Jarius Wynn. But that isn't the ideal. Not even close. You know, Cullen Jenkins was limited yesterday. So he did practice. Basically, limited means they go through the jog-through, which is basically nothing. But he is at least, you know, in there seeing what the Jets are going to do. They have their scout team, you know, running Jets plays, showing them what the Jets are likely to do based upon their scouting report and their tendencies and things like that. So I would say if you had to, say, choose one of them that might play, it kind of looks like Cullen Jenkins is a little bit further ahead. But they, you know, Mike McCarthy kind of pointed out the calf he strained was the same calf that gave him troubles in training camp. So this is kind of a recurring thing, which isn't the, you know, the best thing in the world. So there's these issues with both these players. And, you know, you got to look at that. I see a tweet here that our director, Alex Talich, pulled up. He's not watching the show, I don't think. This Phil Carter 89 says, "We all know injuries are a part of football, but why are the Packers falling like flies? Could it be strength and conditioning?" And we've talked about a lot of this in the comments section at Cheesehead TV. And really, I can understand people questioning whether it could be strength and conditioning. And maybe that's okay for Phil Carter 89 to be doing his questioning. But we've seen some comments at Cheesehead TV where people are just out and out blaming the strength and conditioning and training departments at the Packers. And I don't see how anybody can go out and blame them. Fans, and even the media really, have no clue what the strength and conditioning and training staff are doing. They're not in the training room. They're not in the weight room with these guys. Nobody's really seeing what they're doing. So to go out and blame them is ridiculous. I just know Pepper Burris is one of the most respected people in his profession in the NFL. And I would love if somebody did an investigative piece on the Packers training and conditioning right now, why, asking these people and other experts in the field why these injuries are happening, what they're doing to overcome them, what they're doing to prevent them, how they're rehabilitating them. But even so, I think that the outcome of that piece, if and when somebody writes it, is that the Packers have just had bad luck this year. I think that's what would happen. It's tough to write a piece like that because these people are not exactly open to the media. You don't ever see quotes from the Packers trainers in the media, so it, you know, it's tough to investigate that. I'd love to do it. I wish I had the resources to research that. But please, folks, don't blame the strength and conditioning staff until you know what's going on. And we don't. Just being outside observers, we don't. It's 8:30. Going to take a break here, folks. And going to take a commercial. Just be a couple minutes here. Hang on. When we come back, we'll be talking more about the Packers' defensive line, more about injuries, and some of their new people they've gotten this week. So stick around. Welcome back to Railbird Central. Thanks for joining us this morning here on Cheesehead TV. Railbird Central airs every Tuesday and Friday morning at 8 a.m., 8 to 9 a.m. Lambeau time. If you want to join the conversation, once again, feel free to comment. But if you want an avatar, you want to use Twitter, please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or Cheesehead TV. And your comments will get through to our blog, or please use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. And I see Jamie is bringing up a lot of evidence. Jamie Jors of Cheesehead TV bringing up a lot of evidence of other teams who've had a lot of injuries as well. And if anybody wants to call into the show and give their 2 cents, I haven't put the number on the screen yet. I kind of got fired up the first segment of the show a little bit talking about Packers coming up on contract years, Bishop and Williams and Jenkins and several others. Atari Bigby will be coming up on a contract year. And those who aren't on injured reserve as well. And then talking about the training staff. So pardon me. And I if anybody wants to call in and share their thoughts on these issues, I want to hear what you've got to say. And this is your chance. If you want to call in, the number is 646-797-2909. And we can talk about anything you want as well. If you want to talk about the Packers' upcoming matchup with the Jets, that's fine too. Lebowski points out, I got my hunter's beard going. I'm just lazy, Lebowski. I haven't shaved in days. And part of that has to do with my injury I had. I could barely move around, let alone shave. I'll probably be shaving later today. So that's the reason. Although I do hunt, and that's coming up in just a couple weeks away. Less than a month now. Mid-November hunting season. I'll be going after the great white buck. White tail. Anyhow, let's get to some of the stories that are in the news today. Our second story down in today's Packers Daily Links is about newly acquired defensive tackle Howard Green. If you click the link, Jason Wilde writes a little story about the travails of Green, even getting to Green Bay. Apparently he had a hard time traveling. He went from New York down south to the New Orleans, Atlanta area. I can barely follow along with the story. It's so confusing. But it took him about 30 hours to get to Green Bay. And he hadn't slept at all. And if I can just read this quote here from Jason Wilde that talks a little bit about it. Quote, what Green went through to be in the Packers locker room at 2 o'clock Thursday afternoon made what Steve Martin and John Candy endured in planes, trains, and automobiles look like leisure travel. It was amazing. And of course, there's been such bad weather in pretty much the whole eastern half of the United States the past few days. This record low pressure system has just made things even tougher to travel. Ridiculous. But so Howard Green, he's finally in Green Bay, but now the Packers are, you know, pressured with trying to prepare him to play in just very few hours, really, basically getting, you know, two, three days to get him up to speed. You had last night and they've got practice today, and they don't really practice on Saturdays before the game. I think they kind of have meetings and maybe, you know, jog-throughs perhaps. But anyway, there's a good article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. The reason they need Green to step up is because B.J. Raji needs a break. And if we look at the third article down on today's Packers Daily Links, if you click the link about B.J. Raji, it'll take you to an article at the Journal Sentinel and Tom Silverstein talking about how B.J. Raji has just played so many snaps this year that he needs to take a break. And, you know, of the players who are healthy, you know, Raji, Wilson, Wynn, they're all defensive linemen, but, you know, Wilson and Wynn can't play nose tackle. You know, so when the Packers are in their base 3-4, I mean, Raji's got to stay in the game no matter what. Because he's the only big body left with Pickett, on the sidelines. So that's why the Packers signed Green this week, is to, you know, help Raji out a little bit. You know, give him a break once in a while. And I called for this earlier in the week, saying the Packers need a run stuffer as well. You know, I didn't necessarily think they needed another 340-plus pounder. But really, I mean, these guys they have now, C.J. Wilson, Jarius Winn, they are just on the edge of what's required poundage-wise out of a defensive lineman in a 3-4 defense. I mean, you cannot be below 280 in a 3-4 and play on the defensive line. And I know those guys are above 280, but I mean, ideally, you are 300-plus pounds across the front. I mean, take a look at what the New England Patriots used to have and what the Pittsburgh Steelers have. Those are some big boys up front. And had the Packers not had injury issues, they'd be in pretty good shape as well. I mean, they'd have a lot of beef up front with Raji, Pickett, and, you know, just playing make-believe here, Johnny Jolly and Cullen Jenkins. I mean, look at those four guys. They're all big, you know. Certainly Raji and Pickett in the 340-pound range. And the rest, you know, over 300. And I'm looking at the comments here on the live blog. Oppie says, forget the hype about outside linebackers in a 3-4. That's the glamour position. Nose tackle is the cog position in a 3-4, period. And yes, nose tackle is very important in the 3-4. You know, Raji has done such a fantastic job not only clogging up lanes, but in spite of that, making plays as well. Packer fan John asks, will we see some base defense or big nickel to defend the run? I think you're going to see a combination of both because the Jets have such a good ground game with LaDainian Tomlinson just having a really good year. And although Sean Green has not really stepped up like they had hoped, you know, still a talented person there and can break off a run at any time. And what was the point I was making here? I lost my train of thought. And anyway, the Packers are going to need to use their base defense against the Jets. But, I mean, the Packers have shown they can stop the run in the nickel as well. I always point to the Packers had their nickel defense in the first game of the year on 4th-and-1 against the Philadelphia Eagles when Michael Vick tried a quarterback sneak to get the first down. That was the nickel defense, and the Packers stuffed it. So they're not afraid to use their nickel personnel on 4th-and-1, although injuries in that game kind of necessitated that as well to an extent. So, I mean, there was a reason for that. So I think you'll see a mix of it. You're going to see the base defense on obvious running downs, but certainly as well, they're going to have to put the nickel in when there's the chance of a pass. There's not much on the practice squad the Packers have right now on the defensive line. I see somebody ask that. And Talley and Toribio, they're not on the Packers practice squad anymore. Yeah, those guys are gone. And Rockin' Rogers points out Jay Ross is the only defensive lineman on the squad. Yeah, Ross is the only guy now. Talley, he's cut. I don't think Ronald Talley's even in the NFL anymore. And Ronald Talley, he was one of those guys who was right around 280 as well. Not really, you're not looking at him as a run stuffer. And Toribio is still with the Chiefs, I think. I wonder how he's doing. You know, there was a lot made about all these players who other teams picked up. Somebody should write an article, and maybe I should, about how all these players are doing. I hear bits and pieces about how people like Toribio and Craig Lumpkin, the Seahawks picked up all the offensive linemen, Alan Barber and Breno Giacomini, and Evan Dietrich Smith as well. I wonder how all these people are doing. I hear bits and pieces, but you know, I don't really follow intimately how other teams are doing. If anybody out there, any of you on the live blog have been following that kind of stuff, feel free to post it. I'd be interested to know how some of these people are doing, if they're starting or, you know, playing big roles on other teams. Punter Chris Bryan was originally picked up by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he was cut. So I see he must not have had the best time in the world in Tampa. But getting back to today's Packers Daily Links, there's an article about Brian Bulaga. If you click the link, it'll take you over to the Green Bay Press Gazette. Another article by Pete Doherty. And Doherty really saying how well Bulaga's playing and wondering if, you know, he'll be the starting right tackle if and when Mark Tauscher gets healthy. I mean, it is looking like a case of when with Tauscher, not if, because he practices more every week the past couple weeks and participating more, and he looks like almost to the point where he could play now. And Pete Doherty says, quote, "The Packers don't have to say whether the job will remain Bulaga's until Tauscher is back, but barring notable regression in his performance the next couple of weeks, it seems almost inevitable they'll quietly keep Bulaga in place." Wow. That's going to be controversial, and maybe it won't. I mean, people haven't really questioned it yet. You know, Bulaga has played so well. And Mark Tauscher has been back to practice this week. I'm going to quickly look up what his practice status has been. Here I am at the Packers official website, and if you look at, I think it's team injury report, it'll tell you the participation they've had during each day of the week. And here we go. Mark Tauscher has been limited both days. So he has practiced, but he hasn't been a full participant, which tells you he's still a little bit injured. But anyhow, you know, I don't think the Packers are certainly in any hurry to get Mark Tauscher back. And that's fine. I mean, as long as he's even slightly injured and Brian Bulaga's playing well, there's no rush. I mean, might as well let Mark Tauscher get as close to 100% as possible. But wow, when he gets back to 100%, you're going to tell this Mark Tauscher, who started for 10 seasons for the Packers, that his job is gone? And you never know. I mean, for all we know, Chad Clifton could suffer an injury this weekend and it all comes for naught, and Bulaga goes over to the left side and Tauscher comes back in. So, I mean, you just can never tell. You never know. Speaking of things you never know, I was getting questions like on Twitter week one who the Packers would cut when Al Harris and Atari Bigby come off the PUP list. I mean, and that just goes to show you, folks, you never know. I mean, the Packers have suffered so many injuries since then. You know, how would you have predicted back then, let alone 3 weeks ago or even a week ago, who the Packers would cut? I mean, just somebody goes on injured reserve and you don't have to cut anyone. You know, they just take a spot. I digress, though. Getting back to the Brian Bulaga situation, he's played so well that he just really, you know, he's been stable this past week against the Vikings for arguably his best performance yet in the pros. It was. Well, that probably not even an argument. So, I just find it fascinating that the Packers could look Mark Tauscher in the face and say, we're going with Brian Bulaga. And Mark Tauscher is so much as a team player, it probably wouldn't even faze him, really. I mean, he would probably, you know, probably wouldn't put up much of a fight. I mean, Mark Tauscher has struggled at times this year. But he's played well in others as well. I see on the live blog some people are trying to guess who the Packers might cut if they had to make room for Harris or Bigby this week. And I see E. Biederman suggests Mike Montgomery, and I think Mike Montgomery's the first person to go if the Packers have to make room. I mean, that might depend as well, though, whether Jenkins and Pickett are healthy. I mean, if they are not going to play Sunday, you might have to keep Montgomery around another week. You do have to wonder that the Packers have brought in these new linebackers, and now they do have probably one more player than they need at outside linebacker. You have to wonder if this is almost an audition for those, especially the new guys that they signed this week. Dyrell Briggs, Eric Walden, Matt Wilhelm. You got to wonder if maybe it's an audition for those guys, because I think the Packers can probably stand to lose one linebacker now. Some of them are going to have to stay. But, I mean, you can throw Robert Francois into the mix as well. I mean, are these new guys any worse than Francois? I will see. Some of these guys are going to get their chance this week. I mean, Matt Wilhelm has already said he's been taking reps on the first-string special teams units. You got to think he'll be active. Probably won't play on defense unless there's an injury. Same with a guy like Dyrell Briggs. Every week I do a 45-man game day roster prediction. Of course, the Packers have to keep 8 players inactive every game. This is going to be one of the toughest weeks yet because I know nothing about these new guys. So it'll be interesting how I make that prediction. I don't hate anyone. I see comments on the live blog about that. I love every Packer in their own way. But we'll keep it at that. Lebowski asks, what happened to Brandon Underwood? I know he had a slight injury long ago, but his name doesn't even come up anymore. I don't think the Packers cut Brandon Underwood. And I saw Tom Silverstein suggest that. Tom Silverstein suggested possibly Quinn Johnson and Brandon Underwood could be cut. And that's a possibility, I suppose. But the thing is, the Packers drafted those guys, and they're not going to want to, you know, part ways with them. For one reason, if you don't cut them, you know, that this kind of idea that they were on the fringe to be cut to begin with, by the time the off season rolls around, that kind of goes away. And, you know, the Packers have 3 fullbacks, and maybe Ted Thompson can pull off a trade in the offseason and get something in return for Quinn Johnson. So that's why you don't want to cut the guy. You could possibly get something for him in return. Now it has to wait till the offseason. So that's why. And yeah, Lebowski points out they drafted Alan Barber too. I suppose the difference there is that, you know, I think Alan Barber was a fourth-year pro this year. You know, Quinn Johnson and Brandon Underwood are only second-year guys. You don't want to give up on them too quick. The reason Quinn Johnson ain't playing this year is because Corey Hall is having his best year ever as a fullback. Honest to goodness, you know, Corey Hall, just like an offensive lineman, will not get any recognition because he rarely touches the ball. But seriously, Corey Hall is playing his best fullback ever and doing good. And John Kuhn, too. he takes less snaps at fullback now, so it's still some, but... Tom Silverstein is a pretty respectable football guy, but every once in a while he reminds you of the kid in grade school that sat in the back of the class and ate paste. Oh. Tom Silverstein is a very good football reporter. I wouldn't know anything about that, but that comment is funny. Lebowski, who saw Corey Hall being that good? Not me. He doesn't look like he'd be a stud fullback. The thing is, he's not a stud. He's not Quinn Johnson. Corey Hall will put more cut blocks than any fullback in the NFL. But all that matters is that he's getting in the way of a defender. You know, that's the thing with football. You don't have to pancake someone to be good. On offense, if you're a blocker, just get in a defender's way, no matter if it's cut blocking them or you can do a dance with them, grab them and do a polka. Just as long as he doesn't make the tackle, it doesn't matter. And that's what Corey Hall does. He's not this guy who's going to lay the wood on anybody. But he knows where to put blocks on, who to put them on, and he's doing a good job springing some runs here by Brandon Jackson, which of course everybody will argue Packers need to get him the ball more. Interesting week this weekend against the Jets. I'm looking forward to it. I've said before, and everybody will hate me, I think the Jets are going to win. It's just so tough to go on the road. It's the home field advantage to me is like, I take home field advantage to the grave almost, and probably more than I should, but I don't know. I just, for me, I used to do a little betting. I don't do so much anymore, but I would get burned betting on road teams, and I've learned my lesson, and and maybe that's why I don't bet so much anymore. But yeah, I just always am afraid to go with the road team. But anyway, I'm as a fan, I'm looking forward to the Packers beating the Jets, hopefully, and you know, certainly if the Packers can win, you know, they have so much momentum going at home next week, home field advantage, home next week against the New York Jets, or I'm sorry, the Dallas Cowboys, and you got to think, boy, if they could win two in a row going into the bye week, this Packers team would be really on a roll, and that's something to look forward to and hope for, I suppose. But, you know, we're getting near the end of the show. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Hope you have a good weekend. Badgers off this weekend, but lots of good football on. If you're a Badger fan, you got to cheer for Iowa against Michigan State. Iowa with the home field advantage. I think Iowa will win, so I'm looking forward to that. Missouri heading into Nebraska. I'm looking forward personally, hopefully, for all these undefeated teams to lose, which you know, gets the Badgers, makes them look even better all the time, as long as the Badgers can keep winning and other teams keep losing. Michigan State, Missouri, Oregon, Auburn. So I'm really excited to watch those games this weekend. But anyhow, big game on Sunday, Halloween, Packers-Jets. Big weekend for Cheesehead TV. Again, if you're in the New York area, go out tonight to Kettle of Fish. Head to Lombardi tomorrow. Hit up the Packers tailgate. Details are on Cheesehead TV. Hit that banner ad or go to our main page when the live blog is done here. Thanks, everyone, for joining me today. And take care. Have a good weekend, everyone. See you Sunday during the game. Our live blog will be up as always, and hopefully we will see you. Start the song over from the top. See ya.